Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Thursday night of Holy Week. Tonight Jesus is betrayed. Tomorrow morning, well, all through the night, of course, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and then he's arrested, brought to the high priest, then brought to Pilate, and by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, he's on nailed to the cross. But tonight, Thursday night, Passover night, he meets with the disciples, as you know, for one last meal, one last Passover meal he's going to eat with them. He teaches them, he washes their feet, tells them to love one another as he has loved them, and he gives them a new meal, the Lord's Supper, communion. Now, we have a number of names for the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it might get confusing, but called Lord's Supper, we call it the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist, Holy Communion. And then there's one more that the Bible uses that we honestly don't use that often, but the Bible calls it the breaking of the bread. And obviously, that name comes from the very practical thing of you take a bread and you break it apart so that you can hand it out to everybody. And you know the saying, best thing since sliced bread, right? Well, they didn't have sliced bread yet, so they couldn't use that saying. So they had to break it apart. Well, there's the practical side of it, just ripping it apart to hand it out, but also it was a ritual thing. And you might remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, he got the bread from the young boy, and it says he gave thanks and broke it. Okay, so this was a way the host would, a way of beginning the meal. So when we have these communion here, you hear these words of institution, you've heard them hundreds, maybe even thousands of times for some of you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Well, that's what those words are doing in there. He broke the bread, and so in the early church, communion was called the breaking of the bread. And just so you're not too confused, obviously sometimes breaking bread would just mean you're having a meal together. But other times it specifically meant having communion. So I'd like to, just for tonight, talk about that word broken. Because on this night, obviously breaking the bread is a whole lot more than just tearing it apart and handing it out to everybody. Okay, because on this night, bread is more than just bread. You know that. On this Thursday night, bread is Jesus. He's the bread of life. This bread is his body, he says, the body that he's going to give on the cross. And that means that this bread that we're breaking is Jesus. So what does it mean? He took the bread and broke it. The whole thing about God is you would expect God to be unbroken. What does the verse say? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we don't expect God to break. He's not supposed to be break. Not supposed to break. Strong people are unbroken people. They never get broken down. But here's Jesus breaking. The whole point of Jesus coming down from heaven is to be broken. And think about how odd that is. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, the bread of all the earth, I mean, think of the largest loaf of bread you've ever seen in your life, that bread is broken. So that every single one of us sinners can have a part in his eternal life and salvation. God is broken, and we broke him. That's, of course, tomorrow, Good Friday. That's our sin that broke him. He's arrested, he's mocked, he's stripped, he's beaten, he's spit on, he's laughed at, he's nailed to a cross, bleeding. He's broken. And that's why on this night he says, "This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of your sins." So tonight, when you take the Lord's Supper, what is this bread? It's the broken body of Jesus. There's only one Jesus, there's only one body, but for you, a sinner who believes in him, you are given a part of him. His body broken for you. Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Now, I would like to explain to you why I think this is important for you to know. Why I think broken bread is so important to consider. And the reason is because we are broken. That's why this matters, that we must be broken to receive this gift of Jesus. And your example is Peter. Your example in the reading tonight is Peter. In the upper room there, Jesus is showing how he's their broken Savior. God should not be washing feet, but Jesus is breaking himself down for them. He's like a servant, kneeling down on his knees, washing their dirty feet. And he gets to Peter, and what does Peter say? No, not me. Not me. I'm not dirty. I'm not broken. You're not going to wash my feet. I don't need you to wash my feet. He's proud, right? He's too proud to be broken down. Too proud to have Jesus wash his feet. And many times that's how you and I are. Too proud to be broken. Oh, no, no, no. We say, I can handle this, right? My sins aren't big sins. They're just little ones. No big deal. Jesus, just go. You can go wash the other dirtier sinners, right? Not me. I'm okay. But remember, what happened to Peter the next day? Next day, proud Peter goes, follows Jesus to the high priest courtyard there, and what happens? Three times in a row, denies that he even knows Jesus. And he was broken then. The rooster crowed, and Jesus looked at him, and he ran away crying. He was broken. And you and I are broken. We can try to hide it behind foolish pride like Peter does, but it doesn't change it. We're broken. I don't know about you, but I pretty much dread any time we got to take our vans to get the oil changed. Because you all know why, what happens. Because there's a pretty good chance that when I take the vans to get the oil changed, they're going to find something else wrong, right? Both of our vans have over 100,000 miles on it, you know. Some of your vehicles maybe even have more than that. You know they're bound to find something wrong when you take it in. Yeah, it seems to be running fine, but, you know, oh, there's some bearing going out. There's some pads that are too worn, tires that are balding. Well, that's the way it is with us. Most of the time, we seem to be running along fine. And just like Peter, we say, no, Jesus, I'm okay. I'm okay, we tell ourselves. And then we go and we take a look in the mirror of God's law, and it's not pretty. Things are wearing out for us. We've told a lie here. We've gossiped about that friend over there. We've said those bad words we regret over here. We've thought about money way too much over here. We've been consumed with lust over there. We've coveted somebody else's stuff. And all of a sudden, the mechanic comes out and says, our vehicle's got a lot of problems. You might be broken in a whole number of other ways. Maybe others have sinned against you. Maybe your body is broken. You're sick or fragile, or you can't do the things you used to do. Or maybe your family is broken, or relationships that you've had are broken. It's no use acting like proud Peter and saying, no, Jesus, I'm just fine. You'll never wash me. Because he only comes for broken people. Are you broken? Well, then here's the meal for you. Here is the breaking of the bread, broken Jesus, for you and I who are broken people. Here the broken Jesus comes to make us whole and to heal us, to give us his body to make us whole again. Some of you probably have used these because you might have been taught in confirmation, but Martin Luther wrote up these questions for you. Use them when you're preparing to take the sacrament. They're in the front of your hymnal if you ever want to look them up sometime. But it's a great way, you know, if you want to make sure you're prepared before you come up and take the Lord's Supper, you can read through these questions. Anyway, the questions start with this simple thing. Are you broken? And those are, of course, my words, but that's the point that Luther is getting across. Right from the start, are we broken? Because if we're not, then Jesus isn't for us. Peter didn't want to be broken. Jesus wasn't for him. We must be broken. So he starts out, question number one, do you believe that you're a sinner? Yes, I believe it. I'm a sinner. Question two, how do you know this? From the Ten Commandments, which I've not kept. And then he goes on, but when he gets to the very end, he asks his final question, but what should you do if you're not aware of your need and you have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? So what should you do if you think you're not broken? And he says, to such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then, he should believe what the scriptures say of him in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. So if you're still a human being with flesh and blood, then you're broken. And secondly, he should look around to see, is he still in the world? Because if you're still in the world, then you're going to be broken. And finally, third, he will certainly have also the devil all around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without. So if you don't think you're broken, in other words, just pinch yourself and look around you. If you're still alive and if you're still in this world, then we're broken. And we should run to his body and blood as fast as we can, broken for us. Finally, on this Thursday night, he also then gives a commandment, as you heard in the gospel reading. He told them, and he tells you and I, that we should be broken for others. As I have loved you, you also are to love one another. We're to love people as Jesus has loved us, and I've already told you what that means, to be broken for others. Jesus was broken for us, and he says, as I've been broken for you, you also to love other peoples. So you might have to break your schedule for others. You might have to break your bank for others. You might have to break your fridge open to feed others. Pride gets in the way of being broken for others. Pride gets in the way of us loving others. Pride doesn't want to break ourselves to take care of others. But Jesus, he breaks us. He breaks us so that we can be healed and be broken for others. So I hope those three little words, he broke it, will mean a little bit more for you. I hope you know tonight your Savior, who was broken for you and for your salvation, and who gives himself to you in this supper, and that receiving his love and healing, you may be broken for others. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.